Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Unseen. But first, here's his message, The Treasure of Trials.
If you will take God's word and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter begins with a hymn of praise, a celebration of salvation, as he is praising God for this eternal salvation which gives us hope. Our hopes are strong, built upon the solid rock, the solid foundation of our relationship with Christ in this great, great salvation. So it's not just, well, I hope things work out. It's not, I sure wish things would work out for the best. No, we have this solid hope that is built upon the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So build strong spiritual foundations in your life, because when life hurts, when things are tough, you need to know that underneath are these foundations of your faith, this hope that goes beyond our feelings, that we can praise Him as Simon Peter is doing in this passage, that we can praise Him no matter what. And so we know that our hope is desperately needed in times of trouble, in times of testing. And yet in our pain, there is a purpose. So many people live their lives not understanding their pain, not understanding the meaning of their tears, the struggles of their lives. Can you imagine living in that hopeless condition of being without a reason for being, a reason for suffering? But as believers in Christ, we have learned that our test produces treasures in our lives, that our trials produce trophies that one day we will lay at the feet of Jesus. So we're going to talk about the reality of these tests and trials. We're going to talk about how trials will humble us. We're going to talk about the clarity of our trials. And we're going to talk about the vitality that our trials produce. First, the reality. If anybody ever said to you, when you come to Jesus, your problems are over, they misspoke. As a matter of fact, when you come to Jesus, your problems may be just beginning, because you have a whole set of new desires and dreams and aspirations and ambitions, and you separate from the world. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 6, he says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Now, circle that word grieved in your Bible. It is a hard, hard word. Grieved by trials of various kinds, all kinds of trials. But in this case, grievous trials, hurtful, damaging trials. Sometimes we hurt so much, we wonder if we will breathe again. As a pastor, I'm often asked, "Pastor, why? Why did my baby die? Why did my husband leave? Why do I have cancer? Why did I lose my career and my job and my future? Why?" And why is a legitimate question. Jesus Himself, in the midst of His own suffering, cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But ultimately, our question is not why. It is how will we respond? Will we learn from our losses and say, "That's when I drew near to Jesus more than any other time in my life. That is when, in the midst of my hurt, I discovered hope. And while I lost my health, I did not lose my soul, and I was strengthened and my character. I may have lost my job, but I discovered what really matters in life. True significance, and not just status and success. I may have lost my money, but I discovered true riches in Jesus Christ. I may have lost a family member, but I experienced the grace and the comfort of God as never before in my life. You see, the reality of trials is clear, isn't it? He mentions there in verse 6 that in these we rejoice, that though now for a little while, note those words, for a little while. That tells me that God has a purpose in the trials. He says they are necessary. If necessary, you have been grieved by these various trials. So that tells me, number one, the reality is that these trials will be brief. They do have a beginning and they have an end. You may be right in the middle of a test, a trial. You may be going in, coming out. I don't know. And maybe you're even thinking, well, if trials are brief, it sure doesn't seem like this is brief to me. I've been hurting a long time. I've been struggling with this for years. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over this. The Bible tells us that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is yet to be. And compared to eternity, the length of eternity, even if our trials could last a lifetime, they could not compare to the glory and the grace of God that is yet to be revealed. So yes, trials are brief. Life is passing, just like that. It means that these trials that we have, they're not random. For the believer, this is not blind fate or bad luck. No, if necessary, for a little while. God wants to put our faith in the fire. It's like a refining process. Verse 7 says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is, look at this, tested by fire. It takes 4 tons of gold ore to produce 1 ounce of gold. And you know the process of refining. They take the ore and they liquefy it. And then when they liquefy it, they then purify it and take out the impurities. And what is left is fine gold. And it's that kind of refining process that God works in our lives, burning off the impurities, testing the genuineness of our faith, the reality of our faith. People want to know, is your faith real? Does it work when life hurts? And what God is doing in all of this is refining us. He puts us in the furnace to burn off the greed and materialism, to burn off the anger and the lust and the prejudice, to burn off the bitterness, to burn off those things in our lives that do not honor and please God and make us more like Jesus. What we're seeing here is that everything in life has a purpose. We may not see it this side of eternity, but every pain, every problem has a purpose. That's the reality. But there's something else, and that is humility. One of the treasures that we gain in trials is not only reality, it's a reality check, but we gain humility. Trials humble us. God uses struggles to strip us of pride and self-centeredness and arrogance. Wouldn't you agree that the Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian who ever lived. That's what I think. And yet Paul had a problem with pride. And so he later reported in 2 Corinthians 12:7, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh." That thorn describes a stabbing pain in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. And Paul prayed again and again and again that God would remove the thorn, but God chose the pain for Paul. And Paul learned in the midst of his pain that there was a purpose in that, and that was to humble him. Because what pain will do, what problems will do for every one of us, it will bring us to the end of ourselves and drive us to dependence upon God. And it's in times of struggle and pain, adversity, that we truly advance in our walk with Christ, because now we learn that it is in our weakness that we are made strong by the power of God. And so we're humbled and we're driven into the presence of God. Humility. Now, humility is not thinking poorly of yourself, badly of yourself, but humility is not thinking of ourselves. It is dying to self and living in the fullness of God's power.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Treasure of Trials. God has a part for you to play in the conflict between good and evil, and we want to help you embrace it with courage by sending you Dr. Jack Graham's book, Unseen, when you give a gift to PowerPoint. And thanks to a $100,000 matching grant, your gift today will be doubled. But this opportunity won't last long, so call now to take advantage of the match that doubles your donation and request your copy of Unseen when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
When you need prayer you can count on, you can't have too many people lifting you up. That's why we've set up a new online community where listeners like you can submit prayer requests. This brand new platform lets you reach out to other PowerPoint listeners for support through an app called Pray.com. You can start sharing and receiving prayer requests from believers all over the world today and be inspired by how God answers as listeners share updates through prayer posts. Just go to jackgraham.org and click on the prayer tab. That's jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, The Treasure of Trials.
Then there's clarity. This is another lesson that we learn in life, one of these treasures in the darkness. Trials clarify what is most important in life. We live very comfortable and convenient lives in a materialistic culture, don't we? So God may choose, God may permit a trial in our lives to wean us from the world, to disconnect us from these fatal attractions of the world, that we might be connected to the goodness and the grace of God and the hope that we have in Him. Helps us clarify our ambitions. Remember, we don't belong to this world. We're exiles here. We're foreigners in a strange land. We're pilgrims on a journey. And so, trials come along to remind us of that truth, that our focus has changed, that our focus is no longer on earthly trophies, but upon heavenly treasures. After all, when it's all said and done, it all goes back in the box, doesn't it? Trials refine us to remember that we must value the future over the present. Trials, you see, make us long for heaven. I mean, real, raw pain reminds us that we need heaven in our hearts and heaven in our future. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 4. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So trials help us clarify our ambitions, but also our affections. The man that God used to write these words, the Holy Spirit inspired to write these words, Simon Peter, he understood this because he had said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, I love you. I'll follow you. Everybody else may go, but I will not go. And yet he came to that place when the fires were on. He was warming his hands by the fires of the enemies of Christ while Jesus was on trial, and he denied the Lord three times. He folded like a cheap suit. And he went away broken, sorrowful. And then he met the risen Christ. And one day, during that 40 days in which Jesus was risen and still upon the earth, he met Simon Peter there on the Sea of Galilee up north. And he was cooking breakfast of fish. And he met Simon Peter and personally restored him. And he restored him with these words, Simon, do you love me? Three times. Do you love me? Each time, Simon Peter replied to the affirmative, yes, Lord, I love you. You see what is happening? He is clarifying his love, his affections for Christ. Jesus is helping him through this trial to know what really matters, what he really loves, who he really loves. Finally, Simon said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. It was at that moment that his love for Christ was renewed and his life in Christ, his faith was restored, and he became this powerful witness of the living Christ. You see, trials will do that for us. It will help us clarify whether we love God or whether we don't love God. After all, the big commandment, Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then your neighbor as yourself. And have you ever noticed how trials, when you go through something and your love for Christ is clarified, you experience God's hope, that it makes you a better comforter of people? The scripture says that the God of all comfort comforts us so that in our own comfort we can comfort others. Now we love people with, I know when I've been through some things in my life, it gives me a greater compassion for people, a greater love for God, a more sympathizing, caring love for others. And some of us, God has to break us down because we're not all that merciful and we're not all that caring naturally. So God may send trials and struggles and tribulations in our lives to break down that hard exterior and to soften our heart and our love for people. That's what God does through trials. There's one final thing, that's the vitality. God gives us a new strength. Trials fortify our faith for spiritual battles. The source of our trials can be the enemy himself. Satan may attack us. We're in a spiritual battle, and the weapons of our warfare are strengthened, fortified through our struggles. We are prepared for the battles of life when we struggle. Thomas Manton said, the worth of a soldier is never known in times of peace. You never know if a soldier is a good soldier until the battle is on, until the heat is on. We're called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are strengthened in life and better prepared to win life's battles when we go through some stuff. Your witness is stronger. Your prayer life is deeper. Your service for Christ is better because you have been through some trials, and we have defeated the enemy to the glory of God. And I tell you this, you'll never know the sense of God's presence in a greater way than when you are in the fire with Him. It's what happened to those three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into literally a fiery furnace. And yet in the midst of the fire, Jesus was walking there with them, one like the Son of Man. And when the heat is turned up, the presence of the Savior will produce hope and joy and peace. Now, verse 7 says, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes now, though it is tested by fire, watch it, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? When God is revealed, when the trials are revealed, the gold is revealed. It's going to take another lifetime to discover our gold. But when he speaks of the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he speaks of that revelation of Christ, he is speaking of the day that Jesus returns. And when Jesus comes back with praise and adoration and honor and glory, this is the ultimate praise. Now, what a scene in heaven this is going to be. A vast throng, multitudes, myriads of men and angels. And suddenly a vast cheer just cascades through heaven. As one by one, the saints of God are called home. Jesus embraces those who have suffered for him, been through the fire with him. He'll say, "This is my child." And though he died in agony as a martyr, he never denied the faith. And the cheers will ascend into heavens and beyond. "Here is my child. She was sick and she suffered illness, but she did it with joy and never lost her hope." They're cheering. "And here's another who lost his wealth and his career, but he didn't lose his faith. He loved me through and through." "Here's another. This child walked a hard road on his journey home, but he's here in hope." And the cheers ascend. And at that moment, all those things in life which didn't make sense, those things that seemed so wasteful and unfair and worthless, are going to make sense as the gold comes forth to the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus. Things that we could never understand now, but we will see clearly in the pure, rare air of eternity. And we're going to look back from that heavenly vantage point, and we're going to realize during those trials, when we thought he was the farthest away, he was really nearest to us. And those times when we were going through something, some circumstance in life that we didn't understand, then we're going to see that he was forming our faith and our character, correcting us, keeping us from evil. We're going to see that when we were going through this terrible struggle in our lives, that God was doing that to strengthen us as believers so that we could encourage others and have a better ministry, that nothing is wasted when God, by his grace, makes the gold. And that's when we're going to take our gold and we're going to lay it at Jesus' feet to the praise and the honor and the glory of Jesus.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Treasure of Trials. Have you ever faced something so devastating that you found yourself asking, "How could God let this happen?" Dr. Jack Graham asked God that very question after his father was murdered, and he wants to tell you the encouraging answer he found by sending you his book, Unseen. We'll send you this inspiring resource when you donate today to help keep these biblical messages coming to you and countless others. And thanks to a $100,000 matching grant that's just been offered, your gift today will be doubled. But this opportunity won't last long, so call now to take advantage of the match that doubles your donation and request your copy of Unseen when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627 to give today. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, Scott, God never tells us that we won't experience grief or sorrow in life. There will be tears. And to be honest, sometimes life will just suck the air right out of you. But we do need to remember that trials, all of our pain and problems, these have a purpose. And as I mentioned in today's program, trials can fortify us. They prove us, test us, and prepare us for what God wants to do next in our lives. As 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." The fact is, if you're a follower of Christ, you are in a spiritual battle. And that means you have a very real enemy. And trials prepare us for this battle and only make us stronger. In fact, you may be right now going through a kind of spiritual boot camp, which is preparing you for battles that you're going to fight in the days ahead. So think about it this way. When gold is made, all the impurities will be removed. The same process of refining takes place in our lives so that the genuine gold, the authentic faith, can come through. Whatever you may be facing today, keep in mind that God is forming your character and He's bringing the gold in you out. Everything has a reason. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but let me tell you, God is working in your life. Remember that no matter what you may be going through, you can build your life in the certainty and confident expectation that God is right in the middle of everything you're going through. Rejoice, because God is working in your life and for your life now and forever.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Unseen, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, next time, Dr. Graham brings a message about how to live a godly life in an ungodly world. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.